Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. So we're very happy to be with you all. So welcome all of you to this Sunday feast program. So today we'll be taking our reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text number 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Vinitanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapetanjina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunata Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopeka Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyai Vacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namoma Mukankaroti Vachalam Pangula Gayate Giri Yat Kripa Tavandi Shri Guru Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are all once welcome again to this Sunday program. So we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text number 2. For those of you who don't have it, it's written on the board. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Trivida bhavati shraddha deinam sa swabhavaja satvike rajase chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrino shri bhagavan vacha trivida bhavati shraddha deinam sa swabhavaja Satvike rajase chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrino Shri Bhagavan uvacha trivida bhavate shraddha deinam sa swabhavaja Satvike rajase chaiva tamasi cheti tam shrino Please chant. Attages. So what translation? Shibhagavanuvacha. The Supreme Personality of God has said. Trivida. Of three kinds. Bhavati. Becomes. Shraddha. The faith. Deinam. Of the embodied. Sa. That. Swabhavaja. According to his mode of material nature. Sattviki, in the mode of goodness. Rajasi, in the mode of passion. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Tamasi, in the mode of ignorance. Cha, and. Iti, thus. Tam, that. Shrinu, hear from me. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God has said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of God has said, according to the modes of nature, acquired by the embodied soul. One's faith can be of three kinds. In goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. Purport. So please listen attentively to Srila Prabhupada's purport. So Srila Prabhupada explains, those who know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but out of laziness or indolence give up following these rules and regulations, are governed by the modes of material nature. According to their previous activities in the modes of goodness, passion, or ignorance, they acquire a nature which is of a specific quality. The association of the living entity with the different modes of nature has been going on perpetually. Since the living entity is in contact with material nature, it acquires different types of mentality according to its association with the material modes. But its nature can be changed if one associates with a bona fide spiritual master and abides by his rules and regulation, by his rules and the scriptures. Gradually, one can change his position from ignorance to goodness, or from passion to goodness. The conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. One has to consider things carefully, with intelligence, in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Thus, one can change his position to a higher mode of nature. Hare Krishna. So once again, we're very happy to be with all of you here. I just came from Lagos, Nigeria yesterday. So by the mercy of the wonderful devotees here, especially His Grace Baladev Prabhu and other senior devotees, they have requested me to say something from our preaching in Nigeria and West Africa. I will try, but I will beg for the mercy of the senior devotees and Guru Paramparam so that I can say something to purify myself and to inspire you all. So, Krishna is this talking about the three modes of nature. As we all know, the modes of nature is all-pervading. It's everywhere in the whole universe. So, it's not different whether you are in Nigeria, or you are in Ghana, or you are in India, America, or whatever, wherever you be. It may be the modes of nature is controlling all the living entities. So, like in Nigeria, many people they ask, why do you join this Indian religion? So I used to tell them that, why do you join the Israelite religion? And then I asked the Muslim also, why do you join the Arabian religion? These are not our real culture. Because Africans also, they have their own culture. Although it's perverted, but very close to very culture also. Perverted, you know, upside down. So, but they're very cultural people also. So, but because of the influence of the Westerners, they are forgotten completely. Just like before Prabhupada went to the West, the Indians also, they're almost forgetting their culture. But Prabhupada is reviving that. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. See? So, but in Africa, everybody is forgotten because of the influence of the Western religion, Christianity especially. And they're very aggressive and passionate. You know? So like I was saying, this mode of nature is very predominant in everywhere in the universe. But in Africa or West Africa, people are more in the mode of passion and ignorance. So, like we know, our great spiritual teacher who started this preaching in Nigeria, his own nation about the teacher Swami Maharaj. Maharaj preached a lot in Africa. So like I used to tell devotees that if you really want to transcend the mode of nature, you should come and preach in West Africa. You know? Because in India it's very easy because people generally, they have this peaceful nature of not attacking each other, whatever religion you are practicing. People are very happy. They understand that you are doing your own thing, I will do my own thing. So there's, but in other parts of the world, it's not like that. So Maharaj was there in Nigeria, you know, preaching for many years, trying. And actually, he tried a lot in Nigeria, West Africa as a whole, in Ghana also. And also he invited some of his god brothers to come and join him, but nobody wanted to come. But his holiness, Srila Kavichandra Swami Maharaj, joined him. And that's my Guru Maharaj. Now he's still preaching there. So it was not easy for Maharaj. Even though there also, his disciple also, sometime, many of them, they went against him. They became very offensive. But still, he continued coming. And he was trying. So he preached a lot. I remember one day, Maharaj was giving lecture. That was very close to when he came finally to Nigeria. And he was saying that, I will tell you, this Krishna consciousness will flourish in this country. And he was saying like this. This Krishna consciousness will flourish in this country. I don't know how many of you who are struggling to keep it now will be there to enjoy it. And he was saying like this to all the devotees. So, Maharaj, at that time, although there were no many, you know, good facility for him, but he was coming. You can imagine somebody from America, just like when Prabhupada started the movement also, from America, coming to Africa, you know, especially in Nigeria, you know, like here you have electricity 24 hours a day. But there, you know, electricity is a very big problem. You know, big corruption there. You know, all the Chinese and all these people, they come and set their generator there. So there's no electricity. Everybody have to buy, you know, generator. So Maharaj still, he was preaching, coming there to preach. My Guru Maharaj also, Srila Kavichandra Swami Maharaj, we come in every year, nobody will pay his ticket. But he still, he will come and preach. Even though the Christian and them, you know, they're very, very aggressive and very passionate. They will attack everybody, they don't want to hear, only Jesus will save. This is what they preach. Only Jesus will, believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. They don't want to hear whatever you have to tell them. But still they are coming. And by their mercy, we have 9 temples in Nigeria. You know. And we have in Lagos, we have in Benin City, we have in Port Harcourt, we have in Warri. If here in Nigeria, they have this natural resources of oil. So this Warri and Port Harcourt is the main place where they do this oil business. So we have temple in Warri, Port Harcourt. We have two in the north of Nigeria, northern Nigeria, so Kaduna and Jos. So this is by the mercy, and this all owned by the ISKCON, properties by ISKCON. So by their mercy, you know, this preaching is going on. And it's only Bhakti Damodara Swami Maharaj also. He's trying his best to keep this legacy going on, like Prabhu Radhika Vala Prabhu was saying in the morning, keeping the legacy. So it's only Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj also trying to keep the legacy going. And that is why his Guru Maharaj has given him that name, Bhakti Dira. Dira is a title, you know, the Dira. And I know you all know the meaning of Dira. One who is not disturbed, even when there is, you know, reason to be disturbed. So that is why he's giving that name, because it's not easy to be a brahmachari or a sannyasi in Africa. You know, I remember, you know, those days, the air is very good. People are, the environment is very conducive. People understand this culture. But there, the women, they will sit down. And they will plan against brahmachari to bring them down. But this is a very steady thing, you know. You want to be a brahmachari, let us see. You know, this is the business there. So it's not very easy for you to become a sannyasi. You know? So Bhakti Maharaj tried with all the troubles and everything. By his mercy of his guru, he was able to be in a brahmachari, and he's very austere also. So because of that, he was able to, that's why his guru gave him Bhakti Dira Damodara Swami. So they tried their best. Maharaj was telling us one day when he was distributing books. So there was one, when, you know, he was there. If you go on the street, nobody will even want to listen to you, because everybody will just tell you Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So one day he was distributing books on the street, and there was one Christian fanatic, you know, came to him and was telling him, Jesus will save you. What are you doing with this Hindu religion? And come on, take to Jesus Christ. And he was saying this very seriously. And people gather, trying to see what his reaction would be. You know, then suddenly one army man came and started harassing him, you know. And now everybody is watching to see what this person is going to do. You know what it means in a public. And you're trying to be saintly. And now people are harassing you, attacking you. Can you imagine what the situation would be? So Maharaj was very calm and he was praying to Krishna in his mind. And suddenly, a higher army officer came from nowhere and came and he took this other army and he said, what are you doing here? Why are you harassing this man? You don't know? You don't know these people? And he started beating him and he put him inside the boot of his car and he drove him away. So in this way, Maharaj was saying how he saw Krishna intervening in this situation. And many, many times we see people, unnecessarily, they will just come and attack, you know, kind of aggressively attack you like this, you know. There was another situation when, because in Lagos where I was preaching, we have our temple commander, his name is Tribhuvana Prabhu. He has been in India for some time now. He's still in Vrindavan. So he was telling, during the December marathon, so we were all preaching, so we go to different directions. So he went to one direction and he was preaching there. So he met this man who was very interested with his wife. And he was telling them about Krishna and about how devotional service is very wonderful. And they were really, you know, becoming interested in the religion. And they were taking the books. As they were taking the books and they were going through it, one pastor came from nowhere. You know, he came with his car and he parked. He said, wow, what are you doing? Don't take these people's books. These people, they are devils. They are demons. Don't take their book. And like this was challenging him. And this man, although he already was thinking of bringing money to pay for this book, then he told the Tribhuvana Prabhu, don't worry, next time. Then he drove away. But this man did not stop. He continued to harass him. And he held his cloth. Who are you? Why do you want to take those people away from me? Who are you? You know, he's a pastor, and those people happen to be his member. You know, so he was like challenging them. Why do you want to take these people away from me? You don't know? I'm a pastor, and I've spent so much energy in preaching to these people, and now these people, they are the one helping my church, and you want to take them away from you? And this devotee was helpless because he was holding books here, and the other one, he was carrying his bag, and he doesn't know what to do, and he was suffocating as this guy was grabbing his shirt. And everybody was just surround, you know, looking around and watching what this guy wanted to do, what is going to be a reaction. And he was saying that in his mind he was praying to Krishna. And that Krishna, please don't let this exceed my limit, you know. Because now the harassment was becoming too much, you know. And this guy, you know, continued harassing him. And suddenly, after some time, he left him. When people started intervening, so he left him. As he left him, then he left. Tribhuvan Mahaprabhu left. He took his book, put it in his bag, feeling bad in his mind. Krishna, why did you allow this guy to harass me like this? Not knowing what is going to be what's going to happen later. So what happens? So later, after like 1 year, 2 years, 2 years like that. So he was sitting in one place very close to Hindu temple. And there in that Hindu temple, they do so many charity, you know, medical treatment, charity there. So he was sitting very close to that place and he saw somebody coming with clutches. And he was leaping. And he's coming. So he was looking straight at him. But he was trying to remove his face. But the guy was staring at him. Then he came close. And I asked him, do you remember? And he said, well, you forgot? I was the one who was ahead, you know, holding your chest. Then I heard you very strongly. You know, after that day, as I left you and I was about going to my car, and a car came from nowhere and he hit the door of my car and hit my leg and I fell down. And this is the result. So I started begging, please forgive me. I don't know, you're a saintly man, but someone have offended you. No, I was begging him like that. And he was, okay, where are you going? He said, I'm going to that Hindu temple there where they give some medical treatment, please. He started begging and started talking. So like this, we get so many of this kind of situation. Because in this material world, as we all know, the three modes of material nature is very strong. So mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness. So Srila Prabhupada has created this movement so that we can all try as much as possible to elevate ourselves to mode of goodness. Because only on the platform of goodness, we can begin to understand Krishna. But when people are seen in the mode of passion and ignorance, they cannot understand why we should take to spiritual activities. Very difficult to understand. Very difficult. It's just like trying to get a pig out of dirty. He cannot understand. Because that is his nature. How can you get a pig out of dirty place? That is his, just like you're passing stool and you're trying to leave the plate, but the pig is rushing to that. That because that is his food, naturally. So try to bring people from the mode of passion and ignorance is very difficult. Very difficult. And that is why Srila Prabhupada has, you know, created this movement and has named it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We should be Krishna conscious. That is the only way to try to, you know, elevate our consciousness. Mam chayo vibhya charina bhakti yogena sevate sa guna samatya itam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that when we engage in devotional service, continuously, unfailingly in all circumstances, we engage in devotional service, we immediately, what happens? We transcend the mode. Well, it's not very easy to transcend the mode because first of all, we have to be transformed before you come to transcendental. Many times, devotees will think that we are transcendental. And we minimize so many things, you know. But unless we become transformed, you cannot become transcendental. So becoming transformed means coming to the mode of goodness first. You come to the mode of goodness, and if you can remain that goodness for a long time, then you can come to transcendental position. If you don't remain in goodness for a long time, you cannot come to transcendental position. It's not possible. And how to come to this transcendental position, how to remain in mode of goodness for a long time, it mentioned, we say it every morning when we want to read Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati nashtike. When we engage in, you know, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam continuously every day, nitya bhagavata sevaya, nitya bhagavata sevaya. There are two Bhagavatas. One is a devotee Bhagavata, the other one is the book Bhagavata. So we have to engage in this Bhagavata seva every day. Every day, not chanting when class is going on. You understand? You have to engage in this Bhagavata every day. Service of Bhagavata every day. And if you do that continuously, only then we can transcend the mode. Tadarajastamo bhava Kamaloba, Dayasari, Cheta Eta Navidam Sita Suti Presidati. They will, because when we engage in this Bhagavad Seva, then we come to this platform of goodness. Only on platform of goodness that we can begin to understand devotional service. So it's very difficult for people in the mode of passion and ignorance to understand. Very difficult. Like example was given of a sage who was trying to save a scorpion from drowning. Again and again the sage is trying to save, but the scorpion is stinging again and again. And somebody asks, "Hey sadhu, why are you trying to save this thing but it's stinging you again and again?" See, because that is the nature of the sadhu to save. And it's the nature of the scorpion to stink. So the same thing. So people in the mode of goodness, their duty is to again and again remind us about how to come to this high. Because if we don't come to mode of goodness, we cannot experience what is devotional service. What is devotional service? And that is why devotional service is completely beyond the modes. And unless we understand that in every activity, it's only the modes that is acting. Like he mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 14:19, Krishna was saying in Bhagavad Gita 14:19, Nayam gune vyakartaram. He said, Yada drashta nupashyati. Say gunebhya cha param. Gunebhya cha param veti. Say madbhavam sudigachati. So Krishna was mentioning in that verse 14:19. If you find it faster than me, you can read it also. 14:19. So Krishna is saying, when one properly sees that in all activities, no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he has attained my spiritual nature. So that is why, as a devotee, we should understand that to constantly cultivate goodness is our, you know, main culture every day. We have to cultivate it every day. And that is why every morning we have to wake up for Mangalati. Every morning you have to wake up. Why? To cultivate this goodness, mode of goodness. You chant in the morning. Because if you don't do this spiritual activity in the morning, your day will be very miserable, which is the quality of passion. You'll be very miserable, very passionate. So if you don't cultivate goodness in the morning, it's very difficult for you during the day. You become very passionate, miserable. That is the quality of, or if you're not miserable, then the most of ignorance will attack you, indolence, sleep, and all this. So that is why it's very, very important. Every morning, we cultivate goodness. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Also, it's not very easy to cultivate. In the morning, when we're trying to do this, we see how the passion and ignorance attacks. You know, they attack us. You know, by trying to think of so many things that we are going to do during the day. That is passion. You know, then ignorance will come in also. You want to fall asleep while doing this. So this, you see, the modes of nature is always attacking the living entity. And in that way, it's very difficult for us to maintain goodness. So in Nigeria, the people there, they are predominantly more in these two platforms, passion and ignorance. Especially, you know, the pastors, they are just using the people for business, you know. Now, because they know that the people are suffering, and they say, come, I will pray for you, and your suffering will go. You know, so they're using people for business. And also, they come to us also, because people believe in miracles. I don't know, maybe I've heard of voodooism. Juju, we call it juju there in Nigeria. It's all this black hat. People, they believe so much about this in Africa also. Every average African thinks that somebody in his village is using some charm on him. Every average person is thinking like this. If anything happens, if you hit your leg on the stone, you think, oh, my grandmother at home is doing some charm on me. They think like this. So even the pastors also, they are using this to exploit the people also. So they go to the pastors and they tell them their problem. They say, come, okay, I'll pray for you. And like this. But also, this pastor also, they come to us. Some of them, they come to us. And they will come, please, can you give me some power so that I can get more congregations? Yes, they do this. They come. Yes, many of them. They come. And they tell me, I remember one time when I was in the temple, one man came and he said, sir, I've been hearing about you people.
please, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of a church. Please, can you give me some charm so that I can my congregation can increase? So I started preaching to him also. Instead of giving him charm, I started preaching to him. I said, you're supposed to be a pastor. You're supposed to be leading people on the right path. What are you looking for? Why are you looking for this? Why can't you have faith in God? Should you have faith in God? He says, sir, it's like you are not understanding what I'm saying. I say, I need some power. I need power so that I can increase my congregation. I say, sir, I'm understanding what you are saying. But if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, he will bring you congregation. So why can't you have faith in him? You should have faith in him. So I say, although it's not very easy to have faith in God, because Jesus Christ also mentioned that if one has faith like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. It's there in this scripture. I say, if you have faith like a mustard seed. How many of us know how big mustard seed is? Yeah. Huh? How big? You know? Very small. See, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can really come close to God. Because it's very difficult for living to have faith in God. Very difficult. Very difficult. We so much engrossed, absorbed in the illusion of this world. So much absorbed. So to have faith in things that is beyond this world is like, let me enjoy the thing I can feel here now first. Then we can talk about those ones we cannot understand. So many people, they think like this. So to have faith in God is very, very difficult. So that is why he says that if you have faith just like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Even a devotee, if you have faith in the holy name of Krishna, it's miraculous. Because it mentioned, Nam Nam Akari Bauda Nija Sarva Shaktis. Nam Nam Akari Bauda Nija Sarva Shakti. The Lord has invested all his transcendental energies in this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So if we strongly have faith in the holy name of God, we can do many wonderful things. So many wonderful things we can do. And this name of the Lord can fulfill all desires. This is what is mentioned in Shishastakam. The name of the Lord can fulfill all material desires. But what is the goal of chanting? To develop your love of Krishna. So we have to be very careful. What is our desire? When we are chanting, we have to be very careful. Because this name can fulfill all desires. So, but you have to be very careful. So that other desire will not distract you from attaining the goal. And mind you, whatever you desire, you will achieve it. And once you achieve whatever you desire, you will have more strength to continue spiritual life. Because that is how the mind works. The mind is a very special machine. See, when you aim at something, when you get that thing, then the mind becomes relaxed. Oh, I've gotten it. So, it's alright. What else again? That is the name. So, it's like, so when you are chanting, we should be careful that we desire only pure love of Krishna. Because then you will never, rest until you get it. Even if not in this life, in the next life you continue. But if you desire other things, immediately you get it, and that is all. The mind will become weak, your faith will start going down, and like that. It depends, like that. So, but if you desire only Krishna, then you can, again and again, work very hard for it. So, as a devotee, we should understand, we should have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And we should try to be Krishna conscious in whatever we are doing. Whether in India or in Nigeria, like for me, what I've seen is people are the same. Because mode of nature is everywhere. People in the mode of ignorance, they behave the same, whether in Nigeria or in America. People in the mode of passion, they behave the same, whether in India, in Nigeria, in America. People in the mode of goodness, they behave the same. But the difference is that in a particular environment, the mode of passion can be more, it differs according to the environment, according to the environment. Like I will give an example, like you see, even the animals also, whether any part of the world is the same. Like dog. Not that the American dog is woo and the Indian dog is barking. It's the same everywhere. The dog is the same everywhere. And the cow is the same. But sometimes you have different breeds, isn't it? It's according to the environment. So the same thing also. the way they most influence the people according to the environment. So here, the people, they tend to be more influenced by the mother of goodness because of the Vedas. So if we take seriously to the scripture, the Vedas, and so it's easy for us, for the Indians also to understand. But in the other part of the world where they are not, they don't have this knowledge, it's more difficult. So the mode of passion and ignorance is more heavy. It's more heavy. And that is why the Indians will take more seriously this Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness, and help the world. Because that is the duty. That is their duty. Like is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that every Indian should try to perfect his life and do what? And do good for others. So that is, so the Indians, like I see, that is why you see the Muslim, they are spreading more faster. Why? Because they take their culture to wherever they are going. You know, if they go to this particular environment, you see they start marrying that environment, give birth to children, and expand more and more. And they are increasing like that in the world. But the Hindus, when they go, like many of the people I meet in Nigeria, they only like to be Hindus, you know. They just close, be with themselves. Even among the Hindus also, they will still separate themselves, Rajasthan and Bengali, and they have different samajis, you know. They restrict themselves. And also they don't tell people also what they are doing. They don't tell others what they are doing. People, even when they want to know, they see them do different things, they want to know, they don't care to tell anybody. And that is why you see, if not for Prabhupada, I'm very sure, maybe in 50 years to come, there will not be anything like Hinduism. You know, because of Prabhupada, even so many of the impersonalists also, they are preaching strongly. You know, many of them, they come up and they think, oh, we have to preach because of Prabhupada. If not for Prabhupada, Hinduism will have be gone after some time. But thank you to Srila Prabhupada. You know, by his mercy, you know, this Krishna consciousness is still, you know, going on very strongly. And we're very happy in India also. People are taking it very seriously. So that is it. So as a devotee, we should just try as much as possible to bring ourselves, to cultivate ourselves, cultivate mode of goodness and elevate our consciousness, come to the mode of goodness. And if we come to the mode of goodness and remain on that platform steadily for a long time, then by the mercy of Guru, on our own we can come to the mode of goodness by our own endeavor. But we cannot transcend goodness by our own endeavor. You can come to goodness by your activities. You can come to goodness, try to chant every day, try to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, Srimad Bhagavad Gita every day. You can, on your own, following the instruction of the Guru, the scripture, you can come to mode of goodness. But on our own, we cannot transcend goodness. So we need the mercy of Guru. That's why Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. The two Bhagavatas, very important. So only by the mercy of the Guru that we can transcend goodness. Only by the mercy of the Guru, we can transcend goodness. So as a devotee, we should try as much as possible to come to the mode of goodness by chanting our Hare Krishna mantra every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Try as much as possible every day, we should do our best, every day we should do our best to come to this platform. And we should read Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita every day we should do this. When we do this, it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. We come to the mode of, we become fixed in the mode of goodness. When we do it every day, we become fixed in the mode of goodness. Nice. Tada Rajasthamo Bhava Kamaloba Dayas Shai Cheta Itana Vidam Sita Satwe Prasidati. Sitam Satwe Prasidati. So by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as we are doing, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with strong faith. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra with strong faith. You know, doing it constantly every day. Then we come to the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna. I don't know, maybe there's some question, comment, contribution.
Can we? I can take question. Ah, not now. Okay.
I have three or four questions. You want me to ask one by one or simultaneously?
You can ask one by one.
Okay.
I don't have very good, strong retentive memory.
Okay. My first question is that would you like to share your experience with the primitive tribes in West Africa?
Share my experience
about primitive tribes in primitive. West Africa. Tribes.
Yes. West Africa.
Yes.
What do you want to know about them?
Because particularly your experience about spreading Krishna consciousness among them.
Ah, okay. Yeah, the village people in Africa, the villagers, they are more of they are very, very open-minded people, you know. They are more better than the so-called city people, you know. So I remember one time when we were doing traveling in Harinam. And we went to the remote villages, you know. And there's one of these village where we were doing chanting. And you see all the villagers, they came. And they were chanting with us, even though they don't understand what we are saying. They just see that these people, they are dancing, singing happily, and they join. And it was a very nice experience. But not all also. Sometimes also you come across bad experiences, you know. So I remember the other one. One time we also went to another village, and as we were dancing and chanting, and some youths in that village, they came. I said, "Stop! What are you people doing?" And that was during the time of Boko Haram. I don't know, maybe you heard of Boko Haram in Nigeria. If you are listening to the news, world news, you might have heard of Boko Haram. Boko Haram is a particular Muslim sect who are terrorists who were disturbing Nigeria. So that was the time they were more prominent, you know, they were disturbing the country. So when we were dancing and they were doing Harinam, and they came to us and say, "Stop! You people, you are Boko Haram." I say, "What do you mean by Boko Haram?" Boko Haram will not come and be chanting and dancing on the street. You know, they plant bombs everywhere. You know, they don't come and dance and chant. So, like that. So, different experiences we come across where we travel, but generally, the villagers, they are more open-minded and nice people. So, although they don't understand, and we have not translated the books into our local languages also, so that this is affecting also, but they are very nice people generally. But the city people which we are trying to preach to, they think that they know all, and it's very difficult to preach to them. And also, even when you try to preach to them also, because of the addiction to the family, society, party, it's very difficult for them to practice. Because when you preach to somebody, and when they try to practice Krishna consciousness, they start telling you, "Oh, if I join this Hare Krishna, then I will not go to party again. Oh, then I will not eat meat again." So they start thinking of all these things. So they start complaining. You know, because joining Hare Krishna there means that you now isolate yourself from your families. You know, you cannot associate with people, relatives, you know. Very difficult. So many of them, sometimes people come and join us, and after some time, they fall back because they cannot go to party again, they cannot drink, and all these things. So, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness is like swimming against current. Like when the river is flowing, and you are trying to swim against the current. You see, it's very difficult to swim against current, is it not? Is it easy to swim against current? No, not easy. So practicing Krishna consciousness in this material world is like that. It's like we're swimming against current. All your friends, people around you, they like to enjoy material things, you know, go to party, and you say no to them. So it's not very easy. And that is why devotees have to be very, very attentive. Because if you are swimming against current, any little inattentiveness, what happens?
the water will carry you. You just go with the water. So you have to be very always attentive. You cannot rest for a minute. That's why a devotee every day, you have to keep on practicing every day. You know, keep on practicing every day. Chant Hare Krishna mantra before sunrise. Chant Hare Krishna, you try to finish your rounds before sunrise. Read Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning. You know, because that will keep you for the whole day. You know, if you don't do that in the morning, the swimming is going to be very difficult that day, you know. So many, you know, things will be against you that day. You'll be very passionate, very miserable. Oh, I have to chant my rounds. You know, so many disturbances in the mind. So, practicing Krishna consciousness is like swimming against current. So, it's very, very difficult. So, that is why a devotee has to always be very conscious, very attentive. You know, you have to plan yourself in a way that you always do your sadhana in the morning. Because if you don't do it, you are endangering yourself. Because the influence of the modes is going to be more heavy on you that day. I think those who are practicing, they understand what I mean. Because when you are doing anything half-heartedly, thinking, oh, I have to chant, then you are doing this, they have to chant, then then you are not happy, you are not peaceful doing whatever you are doing. But if you wake up very early and you try to do your chanting or your spiritual activities, you feel very happy that day. You feel satisfied. You feel fulfilled. You know, you are very happy doing whatever you are doing. So that is only what gives you strength to overcome the day's challenge. So the challenges in the day. So that's why as a devotee, we have to be very attentive. So because in the material world, we are swimming against current. You know, Kali Dosha Nide Rajan. Leading, so it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that Kali Dosha Nide Rajan, that this age of Kali is full of faults, so many faults. So it's ocean needy. So also in the material world is ocean of sinful activities. People are naturally, they consider sinful activity to be normal. Huh? Nowadays in this so-called modern civilization, everybody considers sinful activities. So when you go to preach in Nigeria and you tell people, you have to stop. Follow this four regulative principle. Oh, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating and fish. Oh, you are suffering. They tell you like this. Say, you are suffering. How are you enjoying? You don't know this, know this, know this. Oh, my brother, you are suffering. Saka, how are you enjoying? So this is what they call enjoyment. So they have considered this to be normal life. So it's very difficult. So. In a situation, when you are living in a situation where people consider these kind of things in normal life, you can imagine what it means. You know, so it's the power is more. You know, it's more. So, as a devotee, we have to understand this, that practicing Krishna consciousness means swimming against current. And you have to be very attentive. You have to be more, you know, you have to strengthen yourself when you are swimming against current. So that you will not be carried away by the sinful activities of the material world. Yes, second?
My second question is, restricting the scope of my discussion to West Africa, could you establish a farming community on the ground of Govardhan Eco Village or Krishna Valley in Hungary?
We are trying to establish farm community, like His Holiness Bhakti Damodara Swami Maharaj, is trying very much, like especially in Lagos, we got one king gave Maharaj 20 acres of land. 20 acres. Maharaj was looking for 100 acres before. But one king gave Maharaj 20 acres of land, and also there's another place also, very close to the city where we bought 3 acres of land. So Maharaj's intention is to gradually, you know, build that place as a community also. So yes, that is there. Maharaj is thinking about it very much. And one thing about these pure devotees is that like I was mentioning the other time, that Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj was saying in his class that this Krishna consciousness will flourish in this country. And I don't know how many of you now who are struggling to keep it will be there to enjoy it. Maharaj was saying this. So there are two things about pure devotees. He's either is saying it, or is desiring it. It's true. He's either is saying it or is desiring it. And either of these two, Krishna must fulfill. You know, what Krishna is doing? He's not doing anything in the spiritual world but to fulfill the desire of his devotees. That's what he's sitting down doing. You know, he's just thinking of his devotee and trying to fulfill their desires. That is what he's doing. So if a pure devotee desires something for his own pleasure, then Krishna makes sure that it comes to pass. You understand? So Maharaj has this strong desire to do this, and it will come to pass one day. Yes, another question.
My third question is that has your Guru Maharaj ever met Prabhupada? If yes, could you please share your experience about that?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, my Guru Maharaj has met Srila Prabhupada, but Guru Maharaj used to tell me that although he met Srila Prabhupada, but he has not closely associated with him, you know, because he was serving one of those who are like senior, very close associated of Prabhupada. But he has met Prabhupada surely, and I also have seen the picture of where he was working with Srila Prabhupada, and I saw that picture. And Guru Maharaj one day was saying that because in that picture you will see him is like ahead of Prabhupada. When you see the picture, it's like ahead of Prabhupada. So he said he likes working like that with Prabhupada. And the reason why he was working like that is so that he can look at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada one day was asking, why are you always walking ahead of me? You know. But the reason was just for him to look at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. So that is much I know about that. Is there any other question?
In mid-90s, especially in 1995, Hutus and Tutsis were at war with each other in the midst of war. Could devotees spread Krishna consciousness among those warring tribes, Hutus and Tutsis? And in South Africa, could they spread Krishna consciousness among Zulus and Inkathas?
Yes, Krishna consciousness is for everybody. And also, in wartime also, we've seen devotees preaching. So, the Krishna consciousness is for all. One thing about Krishna consciousness is that Srila Prabhupada was trying to preach in India, but some or the other he could not succeed because at that time nobody was taking it serious. But he went to the West, where normally the Indians consider the Western people to be untouchable or whatever, low class, whatever. But still, they took the Krishna consciousness, and by the influence of those Western people, now the Indians are taking it very seriously. So Krishna consciousness is for the whole world, because Krishna is the father of everybody. You know, he's the father of everyone. And the main thing that is there is that we all have forgotten our relationship with him, whether Indian, Africans, European, Americans, because we are suffering this material world because we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. And what Krishna consciousness is teaching us is how to reestablish this, our relationship with Krishna. And by doing that, we'll become happy. So the supreme occupation for all living entity is to do what? Is to engage in devotional service to Krishna. See? It says, Savam pum shaparo dhamo yato bhakti adokshaji aituki apratiyata eyatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all living entities is to do what? There is not mentioned some particular set of living entity. It says, Sarvam pumsha, sarvam pumsha parodamo. Sarva, for all, as long as you have human body, pumsha, for all living entities. Sarvam pumsha parodamo, supreme occupation for all living entities. Is what? Yato bhakti adokshaje. And Srila Prabhupada explained adokshaje to me, in the Sanskrit language we have a and sha. The beginning is a. The end is, like in English, you have A to Z. So adokshaje means, Prabhupada explains that, Anksha, one who is beyond that. In any word you are making in Sanskrit is within Anksha. Every word. Just like in English, any word you are making in English is between A to Z. Any word, just mention them. So one who is beyond this alphabet, Anksha, is called Adokshaji. So the supreme occupation for all living entity is to engage in the service of Krishna, the supreme. And how this service should be done is mentioned
must be Aituki Apratiyata. Aituki Apratiyata. Must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. To do what? To completely satisfy the self. If you want to be happy, like Prabhu was mentioning this morning, Nishkama Karma Yoga, you must do a selfless service to Krishna. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. You must be unmotivated. Because when service is unmotivated, it's very difficult to continue for a long time. And that is why it must be uninterrupted. Even though it's no motivation, but it must be uninterrupted also. It's a very difficult situation. You see? Because when we want to do something, we do it with motive. You know? There must be motive. That is what is keeping everybody going. If there is no motive, there is no action. If there is no motive, there is no action. So, but here it's saying, we must do devotional service. No material motives. No, unmotivated and uninterrupted. Then we'll become happy. Because that is the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is to serve the Supreme Lord selflessly. Whatever desire that is coming is from the mental concussion, is from our minds. And it will keep on coming. That is the nature of the mind. So the mind will keep on desiring so many things, but it's the duty of us to understand that it's not our duty to fulfill all the desire from the mind. Because that is the nature of the mind to desire. Just like that is the nature of a child to play around. The child wants to take everything. It's going here and there. So it's the duty of the parent to say, no, sit down here. Sit down here. Don't touch that. So we have to keep on doing this until our mind understands what is good for him. You have to understand this. You have to keep on doing this until the mind understands what is good and what is bad. You have to keep on doing this. You know, if you don't do that, then the mind will go and do something bad. Then it will create problems for you. So, as a devotee, as we're chanting and hearing, we have to keep on watching our mind, that the mind will not go astray. So, devotional service is for all living entities. As long as you have mind, you have to control your mind. It's not that the Africans don't have mind, and the Indians have mind. All living entities have mind, you know? So, we have to understand, we have mind, and our duty is to control our mind. And we all have desires. Everybody have desire, whether material or spiritual. Desire is there. That is evident that the mind is there. The mind will keep on desiring so many things. But it's not our duty to fulfill all these desires. Am chayo vive charinam. Bhakti yogena sevati saguna samati aitam. Brahma bhuyaya kaapati. So we have to continue to engage in devotional service unfailingly in all circumstances. Then we come to the level of Brahma. Brahma puta prasannatma. Nasushati nakashati. Sarvasabhishu bhuteshu ma bhakti labhati param. So the Lord mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that when we come to this level of Brahma, then there is no more sushati and kashati. No more lamentation and no more hankering. When we want something, we lament. We're always hankering for something. Then when we lose them, what happens? We lament. So that is the nature of the mind. And also we have to be able to see all living entity with an equal vision. So that is the platform of Srila Prabhupada. He has attained this high level of devotional service. And that is why he was able to go out of India and distribute this Krishna consciousness. So we are pleading to all the Indians who are serious devotees. If you really want to transcend the moods, come and preach in Africa.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his optimism that every city and village, Krishna consciousness will spread.
Yes.
So, would you elaborate on Arab inhabited Northern Africa, especially spread of Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, I don't know so much about North Africa, because in North Africa, predominantly they are Muslims. Like you have Egypt, you have Morocco, and like that. So most of them, they are Muslim. But the thing that is there is that Krishna consciousness is for all. Like when we go out in Nigeria and we preach to people, and people ask us sometimes, why are you preaching this, your religion, to us? Are you want to convert us? Then I tell them, no, we are not converting people. We are inspiring people. We don't convert, we inspire. So
That is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Whatever your religion you are doing, do it nicely. If you're a Muslim, be a good Muslim. Because if you become a good Muslim, ultimately you become a devotee, Vaishnava. Yes. If you become a good Christian, ultimately you come to, because see, serving God is like going to school. You have from elementary, you have primary, you have secondary, you have universities. So when you study nicely in primary school, what happens? Naturally, what happens? You go to secondary school. Then when you study very nicely there and you pass all the classes there, what happens? Then you go to college, university. So there's this natural progression also in consciousness also. When you do the one you are doing very nicely, automatically, there's this evolution of consciousness. You just come higher. It's natural. It's not, if you do nicely, like if you're a very good Christian and you study the Bible and you understand, naturally you come up. Because then you want to know God in person. Where is this God, where is he? Then naturally you come up. It's natural. Like I remember when my father passed away. So that was a very long time ago. So my mother is a very strong Christian. So every day she will study Bible and study. And she was studying once. After my father passed away, she was only studying the Bible. So when he now went to, she went to her father, and the father told her, "Oh, you are still young. Why can't you marry somebody?" So fortunately, the person who approached her was a devotee. You know? And somehow or the other, because he was a very good Christian, you know, before she accepted to follow the principle of Krishna consciousness. No? You understand? So this is my own realization that when people become so serious in what they are practicing, naturally there is evolution of the soul. You just go up naturally because there is evolution of consciousness. You go up naturally. And Vaishnavism is the topmost, you know, platform of God consciousness. You know, where you directly can relate with God as a person. It's the highest. Yeah, the other religion, yes, like Prabhupada mentioned that, yeah, the Christian also, they are doing devotional service because they pray. Prayer, one of the items of devotional service is Vandanam. So they are always praying. So they are doing devotional service. But one day, they will come to this level of Krishna consciousness. So it will naturally come like that. So, yes, if you are a Muslim, if you seriously practice Muslim and you devote yourself very strongly, naturally you come to higher level of devotional service to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Like one day, His Grace Navindani Radha Prabhu came to, he was in Nigeria, he was traveling in Nigeria. So he was telling us about how he met one Sufi Muslim. I've forgotten the country he said he met him. And the man invited him and he was telling him that, "Please come to my house and come and have lunch." And he was asking him, "Why are you so freely, you know, relating with me?" He said, "Yes, I believe, I understand that you are serving the same God I'm serving." Because he's a very sincere servant. If you're truly serving sincerely, naturally you can understand that everything is one. Not one in the sense of impersonalism, but one in the sense that God is the Father of all. You know? And we're all trying to serve Him. And the more you sincere you become, the more the Lord will reveal Himself to you. Atashi Krishna Namadi, Nabave Grayam Indriya, Sevo Muke, Ijivado, Soyam Eva, Spratin. The Lord reveals Himself to the sincere servant. When you serve sincerely, you see, Atashi Krishna Namadi, names, pastime, activities of Krishna, we cannot understand on our own. On our own, we may try. You know, we cannot understand on our own. But when you now render service, Sevo Muke Ijivado, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. So by rendering service with our tongue, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and taking Krishna's prasadam, then gradually, Swayam Eva, Spuratiyada, the Lord revealed Himself to such sincere devotee. So yes, in the northern Africa, most of them they are Muslim, but
One day, by the mercy of the bodies who are trying to go there to preach, that's what we call a get us to Christ also. Sometimes, some devotee will come to a particular area. Not everybody in that area will immediately take to, you know, Krishna consciousness. But by rendering some service, you know, you have created a favorable situation for you to get devotional service. Just by rendering some service, you know, by welcoming the devotee, by treating them nicely, you know, being nice to them, showing them where to go, you know, the road to go, you know. Just be like, that's a get a security. Then in that way, the person in his next life, somehow or the other, you will get devotional service. Or by devotee performing Harinam Sankirtan. When you see devotee performing Harinam Sankirtan, even though sometimes you look at them, you don't know what they are doing. But somehow or the other, you are getting some get a security, pious credit unknown to you. I remember Guru Maharaj was mentioning that when you go on Harinam Sankirtan and people watch the Harinam Sankirtan, he mentioned that when that person is about to leave his body, automatically all your life activities will be played back. And kind of to see, you see what you have been doing. So when you get to that picture where you're watching Harinam Sankirtan, you will stop. You see? So just by watching Harinam Sankirtan, also you get so much pious credit. Just by watching Harinam. So all those people who don't have chance to be devoted in this life, just by watching devotees doing Sankirtan, Harinam, they get so much pious credit. So in that way, all the Northern America, Northern African or whatever, the Middle East also, somehow getting in contact with Krishna consciousness, they will, in their future life, they become Vaishnavas. And they become, because that is, if you really want to intimately relate with Krishna, there is no other process. You know, there's no other process. It's not like this sentimental, no other process like other religions say. But this one is that if you really want to intimately relate with God, you must come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. There is no other way. You must come to that platform. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for giving your audience.